Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the VIP Ignite podcast. I'm your host, Deneen White. I am so excited to introduce you this morning to Erica Shore. She has been acting since she was 3 years old. The tipping point in her acting career was a play that she did in preschool, and I cannot wait for you to hear her story. I'm so excited. Good morning, Erica. How are you today?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's my first podcast and hopefully the start of many more.
I'm sure this is a tipping point for you. I'm sure after people hear you today, they're going to want to talk to you all the time. So I'm super excited about you sharing your story. So to get started, would you be able to just tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'll start with the story of what made me get into acting. I was 3 years old in preschool, and we did this production of Snow White where I was playing Snow White. It was really great. I had this really pretty white princess dress, and on that for the peasant scenes, I had this horrible construction paper cutout. My cousin was the evil queen, and she was so mad because her costume was a trash bag. And then the little boy who played the prince had to kiss my left hand to wake me up. But it was just the start of everything. I fell in love with acting, and it's something I've wanted to do my whole life.
That's awesome. That's phenomenal. So how did you get started? I know you started when you were young, but how did your career progress from then? Because you've been acting now for 25 years. So can you talk to me a little bit about the progression of your career?
Yeah, I started doing more and more plays in school and at camp. I got a lot of leads for younger people doing like Amaryllis and The Music Man, and I had smaller parts in the show Dan Yankees, and I was actually Lola in one of them. And then as things went further, I realized I kind of wanted to do more film and television than theater, so I started getting extra jobs and working on student films and even writing my own screenplays.
What? You're writing your own screenplays too? That's phenomenal.
I am. One of them that was inspired by one of the lines from the very last episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. Talk to me about that.
Like a father,
I said, talk to me about that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I always loved the character of Barney, and Neil Patrick Harris is just wonderful. So I ended up watching the series finale, and when Barney's holding his daughter for the first time and said, "You are the love of my life," I'm thinking, this would be a great storyline for a father-daughter love story about him learning that his daughter may be the love of his life, but having to learn, except that he isn't the love of her life, and a progression story on that.
Oh, that sounds really good. I can't wait for that to be on the big screen. That'll be phenomenal.
Your cousin.
That's awesome. So, Erica, so you've been doing this for a long time, and I mean, you have some really cool credits. Like, you were on Bull, The Following, Mr. Robot. You have, you're a featured extra in a Woody Allen film. So to get to those yeses, I'm sure that you had a lot of no's. So can you talk a little bit about, like, the mindset that you need to keep going in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with not getting into the bed and focusing on how hard it is. I know that it can be very tiring and very difficult. Like, when I was on The Following, all I did was walk back and forth past the building. So it's like, as an extra, you feel like a nobody. And that can be very discouraging and very tiring because of that. So I think for me, a lot of what I do is I say, I know the next step's going to be bigger. I'm learning how to handle myself on set and how to act as a professional and not, most importantly, not get starstruck by whoever is on set with me. I mean, I did the following. We were in between takes, and Kevin Bacon and I were like 3 feet apart from each other, or 30 feet apart from each other. We made eye contact, and he goes, "Stop." And I'm like, "Oh, God."
He said, "Stop." So and what did you say? We're like, "Oh."
I was like, "Oh, my God. Kevin Bacon just stopped me. I can't anymore."
That's awesome. So, like,
just a matter
how
of-
do you, like, go ahead.
No, go on.
No, I was going to ask you, so, how do you get over that starstruckness? Because in L.A., we had our big event in L.A. at the end of June, and I got to meet Gabrielle Ruiz, who is, like, one of the stars of My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And I'm never starstruck about anyone. But I found out that she was going to be there, so I was like, oh, my God, I should at least, like, watch the show that she's known for. So I was watching the show, and, like, her character for the first couple of seasons is not a nice person. I was like, she's just not nice. So I was, like, absolutely exhausted because it was, like, the third day of, like, a marathon of the event. And I meet her, and I'm like, hi, my name is Denise. It's so nice to meet you. She's like, oh, I was like, and I said to her, I was like, you know, I have to be really honest with you. You're really nice. I didn't know if I was going to like you because your character is so mean. And, like, I started laughing like I was acting like an idiot. But I was so embarrassed by that exchange. Like, how do you overcome that?
That's actually a really good question because, like, I don't know if it's necessarily something that anyone fully ever overcomes. I know for me, I try to remember that these are normal people doing a job. Yes, the job is maybe a little bit more glamorous and higher achieving than a doctor or a teacher, but they are doing something that they love, and it's something that I love, and something that we can bond over.
Yeah. That's true. It's so true. And, like, the thing is, even you get starstruck?
Even I got starstruck. I got a comment from Robert Downey Jr. on his Facebook page once, and I got starstruck.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not in me. Like, normally I'm fine. Like, with what we do with the coaching program, like, I'm working with, like, all of, like, the coaches and all. And I managed not to embarrass myself for all of that time. But, like, I was like, why did I have to embarrass myself in person? Like why? I may have embarrassed myself one other time, but that was a whole different situation. But anyway, let's get back to acting.
Yeah.
So, question for you. I talk to a lot of people who are really new to the entertainment industry, and a lot of them are like, okay, you know what? I've never done this before, but this is something I want to do. Now, did you have you taken any training? Like, how did you get to the point where you are now? Like, did you take classes? Talk to me a little bit about how you found the success that you have.
Well, I started taking a lot more classes in college. I minored in theater. I think it's actually very important for anyone who wants to do acting to definitely take some theater courses and find some community theater to be a part of, because it teaches you how to over-project and over-express your emotions, as it's easier to bring it in, but if you can't fully express it to the fullest extent of limitations, then you are never going to make it. I also take classes at the Philadelphia Acting Studio, where I do a lot of, right now we're doing some in-depth scene work and some in-depth monologue work. And something that should definitely be taken into consideration is always experiment. Find out if you can do, if you're normally a person who's very giddy and happy, do a sad monologue. If you like playing good guys, try being a villain once. It's always about experimenting and never being afraid to take that risk either, but definitely need to take classes and to learn, even if it's just one class, because everyone's got different teaching styles. I did a Meisner workshop in New York about a year and a half ago, and I appreciated his teaching style of Meisner, but I did not like it at all. Also, studying, besides my also studying the other greats like Stanislavski, Stella Adler, reading lots and lots of plays and watching lots of movies and television, learning, most importantly, I think, for an actor, is to learn about all the great writers. You got to know how they tell stories, and if you can't tell a story, you're never, that's another way you're never going to make it.
Yeah, I think something that people don't realize is, like, acting, like, even acting and modeling, even music, like, all, like, the whole thing about entertainment is, it is all telling a story, and it amazes me how many times, like, I'll talk to someone, and they can barely hold a conversation. I'm like, that'll be really awkward, like, when you're on the red carpet one day, like, if you make it to the red carpet and you can't hold a conversation. But, like, you have to know, like, you have to know this, like, It kind of goes along with, like, my history teacher always told me, if you don't learn history, it's bound to repeat itself. You know, like, if you don't learn the basics, it's bound to repeat itself. So I think that's the way it is with acting too, because some of the greatest acting coaches and actors that I know have all studied Shakespeare and they've all done theater. So can you talk a little bit about how important it is to start out in theater? Because I think so many people are like, yeah, you know what, I want to go be in the movies. But you have to, like, there's a difference between theater and film. So can you talk a little bit about that? That was a lot of questions I had to do at once.
Yeah. No, I definitely can, because and one of the best examples, I say, for the difference between film and theater was when I got to see Katie Holmes and – oh, God, John Lithgow in All My Sons. And they were, John Lithgow was absolutely fabulous, and I've always loved him as an actor. I mean, we've heard his voice in Shrek, which voiceovers are a completely different field in their own when it comes to acting. But I remember loving watching him in Third Rock from the Sun, where he was just so energetic and flamboyant with his character. But seeing him in All My Sons, it really showed me how talented he is, and how I can't even describe his performance, because he was just so fantastic and amazing, and it made me want to watch more and more of his work. Like, I think he was the reason I watched The Crown the first time around, was to see him. But with, like, Katie Holmes, when I saw her, I didn't know how I felt about her as an actress. I thought she was good, but when I saw her in My Sons, she was terrible. And when I started watching more of her stuff, I'm like, I no longer buy you as an actress, because you can't seem to do the work that it takes to do a theater performance. And then that's just for Arthur Miller, who's a more of a contemporary writer. Years and years ago, I saw from Pirates of the Caribbean, Kevin McNally, and everyone knows Jude Law, I saw the two of them together in Hamlet.
Oh, and, my gosh, that must have been amazing.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I got to see it. It was in New York for 6 days. I saw it closing night. I swear I will never look at Jude Law the same way. I mean, Kevin McNally and I had when I met him, we had like a three-hour-long conversation about how fabulous the performance was and how talented he is. And meeting Jude Law would be another starstruck moment for me, because I would still see him swinging on the actors who played Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like, I'd still see him swinging on their shoulders back and forth.
That's awesome.
So like, you have to be able to do the work and show the expression, especially with something like Shakespeare, where there's very few stage directions. And because a lot of his stories do cross over time and can be told in any era, you also got to know how important it is for the costuming as well to tell that story, and how you could look stunning as a Renaissance woman, Juliet, or beautiful as Claire Danes in their more modern day adaptation. Theater is probably the most important part of acting. It teaches you how to use your body and stage and your voice.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, like, the thing with theater, too, is not only does it teach you those things, but you only get one take. It's not like you can screw up and they're like, okay, everyone stop and reset and let's start again. Like, you have to do it right the first time. Otherwise, the whole show goes down. If you don't know how to improv and you screw up, then the whole show goes down, right?
Oh, yeah. A great example of this was when I saw Mary Poppins on Broadway. and Miss Mary was taking the children up to bed, and on the stair set, she actually tripped on the stairs. And those people would be horrified at that. I know I probably would have been, but she got up, straightened her blouse, and was like, I'm just practically perfect.
That's awesome.
And right back up the stairs.
Cool. Something I'm hearing too, Erica, as you're telling me all these stories, is you see a lot of theater. Do you go to a lot of shows?
I do, and because you can't just study your craft by doing. You have to see. You have to see how other people take a character. I mean, I've seen Hamlet 3 different times on stage, and probably almost every film version of it. Because each story is told, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And you get different. Always get different. Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. You get different interpretations. Yeah. Keep on unpacking this. This is awesome. I love this.
Yeah. And you get different ways of seeing it. Like, I saw Paul Giamatti in Hamlet at the Yale Repertory Theater. And that was really interesting to see the difference between him and Jude Law, since Paul Giamatti is obviously much older and much more. I always see him, and I think of him when he was Blue in Big Fat Liar, or when I saw him in HBO's John Adams. But seeing him as Hamlet really changed my perspective on how creative he is and how you can take such a serious role but add your own flair and style to it as well. And that's something that you don't learn just by doing. You also learn by watching.
Yeah. You're making my coach heart so happy right now, Erica, because one of the things that we're doing and one of the things that we've challenged the people in our coaching program to do is to go see theater. And they're like, I don't have the money. I don't understand why I have to do this. Why do I have to go watch someone else do it? Why shouldn't I just do it? And I love that, like, everything that you're saying, like, when you're talking you're talking about, like, okay, you know, like, I saw Hamlet with this one and this one, and this is how they compare it, and this is different. And I love that you're saying all of this, because there's so many, there's something to be said about seeing things, like, especially in theater, because when I was younger, I used to go to the theater a lot. I had a lot of friends in theater, so there's this little playhouse in Haddonfield, and I saw, like, every show there for, like, 2 seasons, and I know it's not the same as, like, seeing something on Broadway, but there's something to be said when you're sitting in a theater and you're seeing everything go on. And, like, something else that I heard you say that I would love to unpack, too, is you said that you had a 3-hour conversation with one of the actors. Like, how did that transpire?
I actually meet a lot of actors by going to the Comic-Cons and all over the country. And when I go up to them, I don't treat them like anything more than a colleague. Like, I'll go up to them and I'll say, thank you for your hard work. Once in a while, I won't lie, I get a photo op or an autograph. But, like, I talk to them and I'll speak with them. Last year, I suggest everyone who wants to be an actor read this book. Read the book As You Wish by Cary Elwes, who we all know was in The Princess Bride as Wesley. And that was his first big role, and he was starstruck to work with all these big names and kind of really get discovered and be there to witness Robin Wright getting discovered. And I got to meet him and got to talk with him about the work he's done and how much his book inspired me and made me less nervous about talking to more well-known and professional actors. Because I see them not as, they're not just heroes. They're not just heroes to some people, but they're colleagues. They're people I want to work with and admire and respect.
Okay. I feel like with every sentence you say, you give me something more to unpack. I love the fact that you just said they're colleagues. Because that tells me that when you tell people what you, if someone were like, hey, Erica, what is it that you do? How do you answer?
I say I'm an actress.
Okay, that's awesome. Like, everything you're saying is, like, I feel like I could take, like, each thing that you say and, like, expand it into a whole podcast. Maybe you and I will do a series down the line. But it's so awesome because, like, and I, okay, so I love you that that's what you say you are. I'm an actress. This is what I do. So that's something, if you're listening to this podcast and you're newer to the entertainment industry, I want you to start doing that. Like, I want you to say, you know what? Hi, my name is Denine and I'm an actress. Or hello, my name is Denine and I'm a model. Like, I want you to start identifying as that, because the more that you tell yourself that, the more that you become that, first of all. The other thing that I love that you said, and I want you to talk about this a little bit, I know that you're a huge Comic-Con fan and you love cosplay and all of that. So most people think, okay, you know what, in order to meet my favorite actor, I have to go to a premiere, or I have to, like, beat them down on social media. But you meet them at Comic-Con. Let's talk about this a little bit. Like, how, like, what, like, talk about cosplay and, like, how that's helping your career, because it sounds like it's something that you love that's also helping your acting career.
It is. I love, like, people think I'm weird sometimes because I do the cosplaying and the costuming, but it's actually one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it does two things. It helps me create these characters and actually does three things. It helps me create these characters and to get in the character and stay in character. It makes people smile. If you want to be an actor, you have to make sure that you can find ways of entertaining people, even if it's just by what you wear. And for me, one of the best things that ever happened to me through costuming is I got to join the charity group Rebel Legion, which has a group that dresses up as the good guys from Star Wars, and we have the 501st who dresses up as the bad guys. And we go to charity events and baseball games and all these other sorts of things. And definitely, because it's volunteer, it's very humbling. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you feel good. And as an actor, if you have an ego that is, I mean, every actor has an ego, but if you have one that is not in check and not balanced, no one's going to want to work with you. So I volunteer with Rebel Legion and do other things like that. And it keeps me humbled and it keeps me down to earth, because I get to see these little kids who, they see us in the characters in the movies, and then when they see them in real life, whether we look exactly like Princess Leia or Darth Vader or not, they get happy and excited, and even they get a little starstruck. So it makes me feel down to earth, and it's the same thing at the Comic-Cons. People get excited to see me dress when I dress up as Belle, or when I do a character that's not really seen often. Like, I recently got a dress made for me from the TV show The Tudors, and people get excited seeing historical costumes and superhero costumes and things like that.
I get excited when I'm downtown in Philadelphia and I see Ben Franklin. I'm like, oh my god, it's Ben Franklin! So I can't imagine. Also, when we were in LA, like, on Hollywood Boulevard, everyone's like, they have so many people dressed up, and I went back one day, I was like, guess what, guys? I just saw Chewbacca. And they were like, no, you didn't. I was like, yes, I did. So I can totally understand how exciting it must be, especially for, like, kids when you go and dress up and they're like, oh my gosh, like, that must be the most rewarding thing in the whole entire world.
It is, and it's also sometimes funny, because I do a lot of the time I'm dressed as Princess Leia. So I was at an event where one of the kids was actually afraid of me just because of the buns on my head. So it's like,
aww.
We're like, we've never seen this before. Normally the kids are afraid of Chewie or Vader because of the mask. And I was with one of my Lukes, and we're just kind of laughing about this, but at the same time, we're trying so hard to show that I'm not scary.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. It's another thing, too, because not everyone's going to like you, and people are going to think you're mean or hate you. And that's another thing the costuming does, is that it helps with that confidence of knowing I'm not always going to be the best, and I'm not always going to be well liked. And if I'm not, and I'm only doing my job right, if I know that I am not perfect.
That's good. Well, it's so true. And I love what you said too about the ego. Like, everyone has to have an ego, but you have to stick your ego aside when you're doing this, because you're part of something so much bigger than yourself. Like, even if you're the lead character, you're not the only one on set. So it's like, I think that's something too that people don't understand about the entertainment industry, is it's a big family. It really is. Like, I've over the past couple of years, I've met so many people, and everyone really wants to help. Like, I don't think I've met anyone that was like, oh, I can't help people do this, that, and the other thing. And, like, I just see, like, it as a huge community, and I just really love, I love being a part of the industry. I'm not, like, on the forefront like you, like, being an actor, but I love helping people reach those dreams and reach those goals, and I love having the opportunity to talk to people like you, Erica, because you're doing this, and just your mindset is so spot on, and I love how teachable you are, too. I'm going to brag on you for a second, because, like, our first conversation, I told everyone, like, I was like, I bragged on you so hard, it was crazy, because when we first talked, we were talking about your social media, and I was like, yeah, you know, you really might want to do an actress one, and, like, within, like, 5 minutes, you had it set up, you had 100 followers, and I was like, guys, who is this crazy person who, like, takes such quick, decisive action? And, but, like, that speaks to everything that you've said. Like, you're teachable, you're learning, you don't have an ego, because someone else would have been like, Tanine, I've been doing this for 25 years, and this is how I do it. But you were like, okay, that's a great piece of advice. And I feel like you have more followers on your new Instagram than you did on the old one, right? So it's like I love yes. people like you that are teachable. Like, you're teachable, but you also want to teach and tell and, like, help people. So, talking to people like you is such a pleasure, Erica. Like, I feel like this is the best podcast I've had in a long time, because the goal that you've dropped has been pretty amazing.
Oh, thank you. But that's a,
you're
I like, you do have to know everything. In high school, I worked on costume crew just to learn something about how hard it is. When I filmed the Woody Allen movie, we had a day where they brought in, like, 10 girls to teach the other hairstylists how to just do hair. And I watched with such intensity how they did this, that one of the staff was like, don't watch too closely or Jerry's going to hire you. I'm like, I wouldn't mind that. This is really fascinating.
Yeah.
But, like, you got to yeah. know it all. Even if it's, I mean, if you just go to a community theater, like, just volunteer just one day to work set crew or costumes, learn the trade, learn the craft, learn. If you want to be in the industry, you got to know a little bit of everything, even if it's not what you mm-hmm. want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you learn everything, then you know how all the moving parts work together. Like, you have
yeah.
the people, like, that want to learn how to do the camera, or even, like, we work with one guy, John Stoddard, in the coaching, who he's an actor. I mean, he was a regular on a soap opera. He's actually currently in a Liberty Mutual commercial. I feel like every 10 minutes he's, like, popping on my TV. I'm like, will you stop stalking me? But on the side, he also has a photography business. And the reason he does that is, A, because it's a little more income. But the other reason he does it is because then he knows, like, he's learning lighting and positioning and all of that. So then that makes him a better actor. So I feel like if you learn all parts of the entertainment industry, like, if you learn, like, what the key grip does and what the costume people do and what the hair and makeup and the – if you learn all of that, then it makes you a better person, because when you're in front of the camera, you have more of an awareness, not a self-consciousness, but you have an awareness of how all the moving parts are working together. And then you're like, okay, now I understand. So this is how I can be better for them and they can be better for me.
Exactly. I mean, you want to know.
Just my two.
And you may even find out that you may like something different and more. Like, in college, we had to do, in my English class, she wanted us to transcribe a book into a script, and we had to film it. And that's kind of where I kind of learned that I like screenwriting, and I was kind of like directing a little bit as well. So I ended up directing mm-hmm. that particular project.
Yeah, you have to learn all the parts, and like you said, you'll never know what you love. When I'm gonna quote one more of our coaches, and then I'm gonna stop quoting all of our coaches in the coaching program. One of the coaches, Mark Christopher Lawrence, and it hit me so hard because he's been in the entertainment industry for 33 years. He's, like, acted with Will Smith. He was in the TV show Chuck. He played Big Mike. So he's been doing this for a long time. And he said, you know what? Every time I'm on set, I get to know a different part of the set. Like, I get to know – he loves the costumes. He's fascinated by the costumes. He said, because one day maybe I won't be able to act anymore, but you know what? I bet you I'll be able to help out with the costumes, because he just loves the entertainment industry so much that he just wants to make sure he's a part of it no matter what. So if that speaks exactly to what you're saying. So.
And that's something that's also very important. Like, because there's so many people out there who want to be actors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the hardest businesses to get into. And yes, it is a business. Not think of people who are looking as anything else. And this is one of the hardest careers to get into. So to always know way to be a part of it is crucial to surviving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you have to want it. Well, Erica, this has been a very informative and fun podcast, and I told you it was going to be the fastest 30 minutes of your whole day. So I just want to thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, sharing your experience, sharing your energy with my audience. I think that anyone who listens to this podcast, if they take a nugget from each part of our conversation, they could possibly transform their lives. So I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on with me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again soon, because I really enjoyed your insights. We'll have to come up with a topic and we'll speak directly to one topic for the whole 30 minutes. How's that sound?
Oh, that'd be great. I'm sure we can come up with tons.
I know, right? Yeah, we'll have to have coffee, and then we'll have to brainstorm. We'll have coffee and brainstorming session, and then we'll come up with like a series that we'll do together. It'll be awesome.
Sounds great. I love it.
Awesome. Well, Erica, seriously, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it, and I will be talking to you very soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much again for today. It was great.
You're welcome. It was great. It was one of my best. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Yep. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I just want to thank everyone so much for taking the time to listen to the VIP Ignite podcast. If you enjoyed my conversation with Erica, please make sure that you hit subscribe, because I do have a lot of fantastic guests coming up over the next couple of weeks. And if you are interested in learning how to ignite your career in the entertainment industry, whether you're just getting started or you need to make some fresh connections, please visit our website at 30xchallenge.com/discovered and register for our next live webinar. You'll learn a lot more in 2 hours than you can learn in a long time about the entertainment industry, and you can also learn how to get involved with our company. Thank you so much, and have a fantastic day.